Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Chavav. We're holding the top line, a brand new Mishnah. As you know, since the beginning of our Masechta, we've been talking about Hilchos Kinyanim. We started off, of course, with Ha'isha Niknes B'Sholish Drachim, and then we went to an Eved Ivri, an Eved Kanani, and now we're talking about first Nechosim Sheyesh L'Machrayis, which is real estate. And then we're going to talk about Nechosim She'en L'Machrayis, which is Metalkalim. So says our Mishnah, Nechosim She'esh L'Machrayis, if you want to go and purchase real estate, Niknin B'Kesef U'B'Shtar U'B'Chazaka. You have one out of three Kinyanim. Kesef, you pay money. Shtar, you have a document of title, a transfer document. And B'Chazaka. What's Chazaka? Says Rashi, you show your ownership by doing something. It doesn't have to be anything major. So if you look at Rashi, the sixth line from the top of the Amid, Rofik Beporta, you start hoeing, you start shoveling a little bit in the ground. In other words, we're talking about a field. To show that the field belongs to you, what you have to do is start digging a little bit into the field. Or you walk on all of the, I don't know if all of them, but at least on some of the borders, the boundaries of this field, or you locked a fence around the field, or you broke into, or you opened a fence in the field. Something that shows that you're the owner, that you're the baal. That's how you koina b'chazaka. How do you know that you can be koina by kesef shtar b'chazaka? We'll see in Yetchim and the Gemara in another minute or two what the makoires are for these three modes of acquisition. On the other hand, if it's a chosim she'en l'machrayis, which is what we call metalkalim, ein niknan ela b'mashicha, you can only be koinim b'mashicha, did you go and schlep it? And again, we'll talk more about that in the Gemara. Now, how did real estate get the name Nechosim Sheyesh L'Machrayis? So Rashi says, because typically, anybody that's lending money to someone else, he doesn't want to give an unsecured loan, because how does he know he's going to get paid back? So therefore he wants to take security. And the best security is a piece of real estate. Why? Because anything having to do with metalkalin, somehow it can get lost, misplaced, displaced, stolen, and then all of your security, all of your collateral is missing. The piece of property cannot be taken away physically. Real estate always stays wherever it is. That being the case, that's the best security that a person can typically take when he is extending a loan. So that's what it means, Sheyesh L'Machrayis. They're the guarantor for the payment of the loan, for the repayment of the loan. She'en L'Machrayis, or Metalkalin, is something that we just said is movable, and so therefore a typical person would be concerned about taking that as security. Now the Mishnah continues on. What happens if a person is buying both a piece of real estate and he's also buying some movables at the same time? Not that different than if today a person buys a house and typically the original owner in the house will leave behind some of the fixtures, some of the furniture. So now, if you were buying the furniture on its own, since the furniture typically is metalkal, then you'd have to go and do a mishicha, like we just said now. Metalkal niknan mishicha. However, if you're buying it as a package deal, the real estate together with the movables, with the metalkalin, then you don't have to go make separate kinyanim. You make a kinyan on the karak, and automatically the metalkalin goes along for the ride. So you don't have to make a separate kinyan. We're going to discuss in the Gemara on the bottom whether or not the metalkalin have to be located on the premises of the real estate, or whether it can be in two separate places. The case, the example I gave before with the furniture, of course typically the furniture would be in the house that you're buying. But what happens if you're buying a house and the owner, also the former owner who's selling it to you, also has furniture which is in storage and he pays for it $100 a month at some storage bin uptown or downtown or whatever, and he says, you know, I'll sell you that furniture as well. Do you have to make a separate kinyan on that? Or do you have the kinyan agav? I'm buying the house, so automatically I'm also getting the furniture along with it, even if it's not situate on the real estate itself. And that's going to be a discussion on the bottom of the Amud. Finally, the Mishnah tells us, now we leave Hilchas Kinyanim for a moment. What does that mean? So Rashi already reminds us from a Gemara in Masechta Shavuos that based on a pasuk we learn Ein Nishboin ala Karkois. The Bezdin cannot go and force a person to make a shvua on karka. What does that mean? For instance, we know that there's a din of a moedim amiktsas. What's a moedim amiktsas? I go over to Yankel and say, hey Yankel, you owe me $100. Don't you remember you borrowed $100? So Yankel says, no, it's only $50, not $100. Why is it only $50? I already paid you back $50 last week, so there's only $50 left. That's what we call a moedim amiktsas. Moedim amiktsas is a chayv shvuah min atayim. But what happens if I said to Yankel, hey Yankel, don't you remember you promised to give me both a piece of land and metaltalin, and you only gave me the metaltalin, you didn't give me the karka. So then, the halacha is you don't have to make a shvua on karka, ein nishboin ala karkois. However, there's a rule of what we call gilgul shvua. Gilgul shvua means that even if vis-a-vis the karka, I cannot be mashbiya someone, however, if I can be mashbiya him on metaltalin, then the karka goes along for the ride. So, migui that he has to make a shvua on the metaltalin, so then he has to make in his shvua he will also include not only the metaltalin, but also the karka. That's what we call gilgul shvua. Meanwhile, the makor for gilgul shvua we learn from the din of saita. Amen, amen. We'll see Mitchum in the Gemara. So just like the Mishnah told us, that for purposes of kinyonim, you make a kinyon in the real estate, and then derech agav, secondary to that, the metaltalin can also be nicknamed. You don't need to make a separate kinyon on the metaltalin. She says the same thing also applies to gabi shvua, that when you go and make a shvua on metaltalin, then the real estate goes along for the ride, like a derech agav. Okay, we'll see Mitchum. Yes, David, you have a question.
Gemara, I just want to point out that achrayut in modern Hebrew, of course, means responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that there's no word in Hebrew for accountable.
Okay.
We came up with a word, achrayuti.
Achrayuti, okay.
And then when they came to the word accountability, achrayutiut.
Oh, very good. Beautiful. So all of our politicians should remember that they will be held accountable for their actions or misactions.
Yes, it's a very useful word these days.
I can imagine. Okay.
Ugly word.
Used by the right or used by the left or used by both. Anyway, regardless, Shkoyach, thanks for pointing that out. Says the Gemara, we started off that Nechosim Sheesh Lo Machrayis, real estate can be nikna bekesef. Look, Gemara bekesef, we know that. How do you know? We already quoted this pasuk at the very beginning of the Masechta that sodes bekesef yiknu. You go and buy a field with kesef. The sodes bekesef with kesef yiknu is a lashon kinyan. Oh, so you see, you can make a kinyan with kesef. Maybe it's not enough paying the kesef. You have to have a shtar as well. Why does the Gemara have that half a minute? For those of you that have the Torah or HaSholem, you'll quickly find in Ois Aleph that these six words go together. The pasuk begins a pasuk in Yermia, Sodeis Bekesef Niknu, V'Chosoiv Baseifer B'Chosoiv. So it sounds like you want to go and buy a soda with Kesef, write a shtar, V'Hoyed Eidim, and have Eidim sign on the shtar. So it sounds like that Kesef is only kind of the first part of the Kinyan, but you have to have two parts. The kesef mit the shtar, the eimat the kishtar. Everything more iksev yiknu lebesoyif kirka amris. If we would say in the pasuk, sodo is pa kesef, v'chosoy baseif v'chosoy v'yiknu, or for that matter, v'chosoy baseif v'chosoy sodo is pa kesef yiknu, if the word yiknu would be at the end of the kesef and shtar, then kirka amris, you'd have a good point. You want to go and make a kinyan, you need both the kesef and the shtar. However, it says at the very outset of the pasuk, so the kesef yiknu. Ah, so there's already a kinyan even before you get to the stage of the b'chosay b'seif of b'chosay. Ah, is the chasimin kesef kani shtar raybi al muhu, that you can go and buy a field with kesef. As soon as you hand over the money, the acquisition has taken place. The deal has closed because now you own the property, and it would be a good idea to have a shtar to be able to go and evidence the fact that this closing took place. Otherwise, the moicher might deny it. So it's always good to have a piece of paper. That's how the Gemara learns pshat in the pasuk. So the Gemara Omer Rav, avad mitzad ikar hadin, says Rav, the Mishnah is correct, that if you pay money for a piece of property, as soon as the money changes hands, you own the property. However, says Rav Lishonu, this halacha is only el b'makom she'en koytzin es hashtar, where there is no local custom, local minig to write a shtar. El b'makom she'en koytzin es hashtar loikana. If it's standard local practice that people write out shtarois, even though me ikra din min ha-toira, you're right, kesef is enough. But superimposed upon that din of kesef, the local custom requires you to write a shtar. So in fact, the kesef alone would not be sufficient. You'd also have to write the shtar. What's the reason for it? Rashi says, because loy samcha daite. See, if you look at Rashi, Rashi is about three lines lower than where we are in the Gemara. The Gemara says, loy shonu, the kani bekasva l'chudei. The kesef alone is enough, ala b'makom she'en regilim lichtiv shtar mechira, where it's not a regilis, it's not the typical custom to write a shtar mechira. Therefore, without the shtar, so in those places where they don't write a shtar, then kesef is enough. Al b'makom where they do write a shtar, says l'ikana, says Rashi, the kiven the regilim b'hachi, since that's a regilis, that's the standard local practice, the lekeach is not going to leave the closing room until he makes sure to get that shtar in hand. They could die to lignois al shtaru, and then even though the transfer of money meikra din works, so that now he acquires a field that belongs to him, however, he is not seimach das until he gets that paper. He is not going to leave the conference room where all the lawyers are assembled and all the brokers and everybody else until he knows for sure, I got my title document that I am now the owner of the property. That being the local custom, says the Gemara, until he gets the shtar, loikar. However, continuing the Gemara, the parish means if he says beferish, if he says expressly that I want to have the ability of being kona with the kesef alone and or with the shtar alone, he can do that. In other words, if he stipulates that and says, Rabbeisai, I know the local custom is, besides the kesef, to give the shtar, but I want to be kona with the kesef alone, or I want to be kona with the shtar alone, he has the right to do that, because that's his stipulation, that's his condition. And the Gemara tells us a story. Ki hadar av iri baravin, ki zavin ara, when he bought a piece of property, Omar, he made a statement there in front of the mocher, and in front of the Edom, and he says, Rabbeisai, iba ina bekasve itni, if I want this to be up to my discretion, up to my decision, if I want to be kinder with kesef, I want it to be kinder with kesef, iba ina bishtara ikri, ikni, and if I want it to be with shtar, I want it to be bishtar. Now you're wondering to yourself, why would Rav Eli Bar Avin make that type of statement? Says, it's very, very simple. Because let's assume that they go into the, for those of you that have been at difficult and complicated real estate closings, sometimes these things can take a day. Sometimes you have a pre-closing on one day and a closing on the next day. It could take a little bit of time. So, said Rav Eli Bar Avin, what happens if I give the money at 9 o'clock in the morning? By the time I get my shtar at 6 o'clock in the evening, 9 hours have passed. Guess what? Major things could have happened vis-a-vis the real estate market. How could major things happen in the real estate market? That day, the stock market went up dramatically, or chalila, it went down dramatically, and as a result, people thought about real estate as being either a safer or better investment, or fakert, they felt that the stock market is a better investment. And so therefore there was a fluctuation of 5% in the price of real estate on that day. So Rav Yehuda bar Rabban was nervous about that, and said Rav Yehuda bar Rabban, Zok to Gemara, if I decide that I want it with kesef, why am I saying that? What happens if the price goes down during the day? And the moicher said, Rav Yehuda bar Rabban, we have not closed yet. We're only going to close when the shtar changes hands at 6 o'clock in the evening. I hear that the prices in the marketplace have gone up. I don't want to go and sell the property for $100 like we agreed. I want you to pay me $120. So therefore, Rav Yehuda bar Rabban wanted to lock in the price and the terms, and he said, sorry, sir, that's why I made a condition before I gave you the money, that as soon as I give the money, I have the right to decide that we're done, we're closed. So even though the prices have gone up in price, bididi, now that it belongs to me, that's ashbach, the property has gone up in value, it's no longer in your issues, it's in my issues. But it could also be the other way around, the prices might go down. So says the Gemara, I'm saying that I want to be able to be koina when the money changes hands. That if you want to change your mind, you moicher, you cannot change your mind. However, what happens if the price is stuck and go down, and therefore I want a discount in the price? I'll tell you, hey, we didn't close yet. Mr., you want us to close, I'm not going to pay you $100, I'm going to pay you $90. They're still negotiating, so to speak. If I want to change my mind, hadrana be, then I can change my mind. Now this is not, you know, chas v'shalom, a matter of deception or anything like that. That was his condition. His condition was, I want to have full control to decide when the sale closes. Does it close at the time of the transfer of money in the morning, or when you, the lawyers finally work out the details with the documents? Okay, in case there is any time interval, I want to have the ability to change my mind or to lock in the deal, depending on the circumstances. Okay, so we finish now the kesef. We go back to the Mishnah, and it says you can go mikoine bishta. Freaking mara minolan, what's the makar? That's the pasuk that we quoted a couple of minutes ago. We just got finished saying that how do I know that you could be koine with kesef? Because so is for kesef yiknu. That is the kinyan. And the subsequent, that's just a shtar raya. So obviously that is not the source that you could be koine with a shtar. Says the more elamei hacha, the raya is from the next pasuk, another pasuk in Yirmiyah, for ekach a sefer hamikna es a chosam hamitzvah chukim es a golim. This is a pasuk talking about. We had this pasuk already earlier on in the Masechta as well, where Yirmiyah Hanavi went and bought a piece of property from Hanamel. Hanamel was the mocher; he was the seller, and he Yirmiyah was the purchaser. So it says that when they effected the sale, I, Yirmiyah v'ekach, I took a sefer amikna, that sefer that formed the kinyan. In other words, the bill of transfer on this real estate, transferring real estate from Hanamel to Yirmiyah, that's the sefer amikna. Oh, so you see that a sefer is kona, we see that a shtar is kona. Omer Shmuel, lo yishonu elu b'shtar ma'atonim, al v'mecha le'kona shi'ita lo yidomim, says Shmuel. When do I say that the shtar affects the entire kinyan? You don't need anything more or less. It's shtar matana, that I am giving you a present of a piece of real estate. So as soon as I hand over the shtar, we're done. But by mecha, you have to hand over the money. What happens if you have a situation where the lawyers were ready before the wire was transferred from one bank to the other bank? So the documents are all ready. Sir, in such a case, mecha leikana, achit leidamun. The moicha says, a document, a bill of transfer, these are all pieces of paper. I want the money. Until I get the money, I am not closing. It says Shmuel, not that we're talking about going and enclosing on ishtar, that ishtar effects the kinyan, only by mishtar matana and not by ishtar mecha. Masav Rav Amnuna, mishtar keitzad. Now the Gemara is bringing us a mishtar braisa, vashteta, how you kind of mishtar. So Gemara, kosav leyan liyor alecheres amabishayin bem shavapruta, sadi mechuralach, sadi nesunalach. A moicher writes an ishtar to the lekeach, and he says, "Sodi, my field is now sold to you. My field is now given to you. Harizu mechur nesuna. This is enough. The kinyan is accomplished. We're done." And as Rashi explains, the Gemara in the Havamina assumes we're talking about two separate transactions. Transaction number one is I'm selling you a field, and he writes in the ishtar, Sodi Mechurilach, and a separate transaction, he writes in Ishtar, Sodi Nesunilach. So what does it say? Mechura Unesuna. On this spot, it's Mechura Nesuna. Based on what Shmuel said a moment ago, that's not true. It's only by Sodi Nesunilach on the spot. As soon as you get the document, we're done. But when you're talking about a Mecher, you have to see that the money is transferred. There's got to be the geld. So why are you telling me that that's enough, just right on the start, Sari Mechurilach, and we're done? Like every rule, there's an exception to the rule. And the exception to the rule is what happens if the Moicher is trying to get rid of this piece of property. This piece of property has just been a huge, huge expense for him now for years. He's never made a dime. He wants to get rid of it. Baruch Hashem, finally somebody's willing to go and buy it and take it off his hands. So as soon as the shtar is written and signed, he says, Baruch Shepetrani, I'm so happy that you took this property off my hands. When will the money come in? Okay, I'm not so nervous about the money. The important thing is, I no longer have to pay taxes, I no longer have to pay insurance, I no longer have to irrigate this property. All of those headaches that I've had for the last years are now away. In such a case, even Shmuel would agree that this Shtar Mecher Kona even without the Domin, because he's so happy just to be put from this property. Rav Ashi has a different tense. He said when you go back to that Kasha that Rav Nuna asked, it said Bishtar Keitzad Kosav Al Niyor, etc. Sari Mechurulach, Sari Nesunulach. In the Havamina we assume that these are two separate Shtaris. One shtar was a shtar matone, one was a shtar mecher, and therefore we're saying about each one, as soon as you write and sign and hand over the shtar, we're done. Is a shver and Shmuel? Says, no. We're talking about one transaction of one matone. Reuven is giving Shimon, a piece of land. He's giving him a piece of land with a shtar. Since it's a shtar matana, you don't need the money. And in fact, there is no money that's going to change hands. But in the shtar, he went and was somewhat verbose, and he wrote, Sadi Nesunulach and Sadi Mechurulach, which, by the way, is not that different from nowadays. When lawyers go and write documents, then they would typically say, and I hereby sell and transfer and give and bequeath and bestow and transmit and give. You know, they write several different lashonis, all saying basically the same thing. Okay, bequest and bestow is usually more in the case of a will, but you get the idea. That's not I'm selling it to you, but I'm also transferring it to you, and I'm also giving it to you, and I'm presenting it to you. Well, all these lashonis. What's the reason why they do that? Like the Gemara is going to say, for yipui koich, to strengthen the shtar, that there shouldn't be any doubts about the intentions of the individual. So although it was a matana, he wrote in it, and not only am I giving it to you, I'm also selling it to you. Now you're wondering, why is that a yipikoyach, and in which respect does that strengthen the shtar? So Rashi says it's very simple. It's the yipikoyach is, what happens if a third party bal choyv comes a year from now, and he goes to the recipient of the matana and says, I know that you received this property. Guess what? I am now collecting this property because I had a lien on it, a mortgage on it, to pay an outstanding choiv. That choiv is never paid by your benevi, the person who was benevolent and gave you this property. He never paid, and therefore I'm taking the property away. Nothing wrong with that. It's like any time a bal choiv unfortunately has to collect from the properties of the kuchais, from the properties of mishubadim. That's typical. So what is the yipui koyach over here? The yipui koyach is that as a result of the noisein hamatona, writing in, that not only am I giving it to you, I'm selling it to you. Ah, what happens now? The recipient of the present goes back to the benefactor and says, they took the property away from me. If it would just be a shtar matona, okay, nothing ventured, nothing lost. He got a present and he loses the present, okay. Worst comes to worst, he'll say he's an Indian giver. However, by writing in Sari Mechurulach, then the beneficiary, the recipient of the present, can go to the benefactor, the one that gave him the present, and says, you gotta pay me for the value of this field. Really? You have to pay him? Yes, that's the purpose in the Yipui Koyach. So let's finish the Gemara and go back to the Rashi. Ravashi Amar Matana Bikishlit Naloi. He wanted to give it to Mimatana. Falom Akasolei Lashin Mecher. Kedeliyapu, he says, Koyachai, to go and strengthen his hand. What is that strengthening of the hand? So you look at the Rashi, Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi, it's about 10 lines before the wide lines of Rashi. It says Rashi, Rav Ashi Omar. Hach Masisu Benoisu Matana Mayri. We're only talking about matan. The kula chadihi. It's all only one transaction. V'lav oy oy k'tani. It's not either matana or mecher. It's only matana. Elakach v'kach kosov loy. This is the way he wrote in the shtar that sodi my field mechura and the sunalah. Why did he write mechura? After all, the person didn't pay any money. Liapis is koy choy shem yigven abal choy. Shall noisein, what happens if the Baal Choyv of the noisein comes and takes it, mimani, takes away the field, Yoshev Olav, the current owner, the one that received the matana, will be able to go back to the noisein matana, litvoyim imenu domem amufarashim. It says in the property, it says in the shtar, that this property is worth $1,000, since they took the property away, even though I only received the present. By putting in tzari mechurulah and specifying a price, he can get now $1,000 instead of his present. Now the obvious question might be, then only put in Sadi Mechurulach. What do I need the Sadi Nesunulach for? If I get a Yipa Koyach by writing in a sale, even though I didn't pay a dime, so let's only put in sale. Why do we even bother putting in that it's a present? That's not my Kasha. Toysis asked the Kasha. Toysis gives two possible answers. The second answer at the end of the Toysis, that's a Toysis here in the middle of the Amud, says Toysis, you'll recall, we have another Gemara that says that what happens if a person sells a field and he has in the field a bor vedus. Bor vedus would mean, for instance, he has a well from which you draw water. When he sold the property, was the bor vedus included or not? And the Gemara says, the Machloikis, Rabbi Kiva, the Chacham, and it depends whether you hold that a person is Noisin or Moicher Ba'ayin Yafa or Ba'ayin Ra'a. So even though the Gabi Mecher, there's a Machloikis whether it's Ba'ayin Yafa or Ba'ayin Ra'a, the Matana Kuli Alma Moide Ba'ayin Yafa Noisin, because he's giving a Matana. Ah, so therefore if he goes and gives him a piece of property, and there's a Bar Vedus, and after that there is a question as to whether the Bar Vedus was included in the property when he transmitted it, when he transferred it, if it was a mecher, then you have a big shaila. Do you have to go and pay him for the bar vedus, a separate amount? But if it's a matana, noisim matana be'ayin yofa moicher, and therefore be'ayin yofa noisim, and therefore he owns and gets not only the general property, but even the bar vedus, which is in the property as well. Robbie, do you have a question?
Yes. How can I give? If I give a matana that is meshubet to somebody else, What does the shtar mechira help? I cannot sell something that already is meshubet.
Meshubet means that there happens to be a lien. This could be the same thing even if you own your own house and you have a mortgage with the bank. unless there is a limitation in the document that prohibits you from selling it, you can sell your house to Yankel, and Yankel can sell it to Beryl, and Beryl to Shmerel, and the mortgage will flow with the sale. Whoever buys the property obviously has to undertake to go and pay the mortgage. So anytime a person has a lien on his property, unless there is a contractual limitation, the person can sell the property, give the property to whoever he wants, and the lien is transmitted, it flows with the property. So here the Baal Chayiv took back the property instead of from the original person that borrowed the money, he took it from the transferee, the person that received the matar.
He will lose it anyhow, whether it's a mecher or a matona, the sonner that he's receiving is shubah. What does the mechir bring or give a more guarantee that he will stay with the matona?
Very good.
That's what I don't understand.
No, I understand. You're asking, what's the yipur koyach? How do you strengthen by putting in sadi mechurvach? Good.
So,
he's up there, good. Let's assume we have now Reuven and Shimon. Reuven gave a property as a present to Shimon. Shimon is enjoying the property, Amachai, it's so nice, Reuven gave him the present. And then Levi comes from left field, and Levi says, I'm very sorry, Reuven owed me money, he never paid me the money, I'm taking away the property. Under normal circumstances, Shimon, of course, is upset. He loves this property, he's been working in it, and he's been making money and all the rest. Okay. He didn't pay a penny for it, so he lost his present. Fine! See, maybe he won't talk to Reuven anymore. You gave me a present which was worthless because it was taken away. That's if it was just a matar. However, if he writes in it, Sodi Mechurulach, then not only am I giving this to you, but I'm selling it to you. And I want you to know that the property is worth $1,000, and I'm giving it to you, and I'm selling it to you, but you don't have to pay me a penny. Now when Levi takes the property away from Shimon, Shimon can go back to Reuven and say, Reuven, they took the property away from me, and you owe me $1,000. I owe you $1,000? I gave you a present. You know, easy come, easy go, you lost the present, you lost the present. No, no. By putting in Sadi Mechurulach, Shimon can now demand that Reuven pay him the value of the property as stipulated in the document. Okay?
Does that terminology allow Shimon to go to Levi and say, I want to keep the property, I'll pay the chol, let me keep the property? Does it give Levi any rights to push away Levi from seizing the property when that language is used?
I understand. There's a shaila in the Gemara, even the Gabi, a regular case of a mecher. Can the lokeach say, how much was the chayv? $1,000. I'm going to keep the property, and here I pay you off $1,000. So the shaila whether the ilukeach has that ability or not to go and pay off the debt and keep the property. So lechoyer the same shaila would it be in this case of the sadi nesumelach, because since he wrote in mechura, he has all of the rights that are pertinent to anyone that is a lukeach, not only that he's a makabel matana, but also a person that bought a piece of property. Okay? He would fill the same shoes. So now we spoke about shtar, we spoke about kesef, and now we go on to chazakah. Freitim or chazakah minolan. How do you know you can be koine with chazakah? Omer chesi omekra. Ushul barechem asher tefastem. Go and settle in your cities which you have grabbed, which you have received. This is talking about, Rashi says, Gedali ben Achikam is telling the Yidden in Klal Yisrael that are still in Eretz Yisrael and have not been exiled, any chelik that you have in the property, go and shvu, go and live there and settle on it, and that itself will show that the property belongs to you. That will be the way you'll be koyed. Shvu v'reichem asher tefastem. V'meh tefastem, how were you able to go and, so to speak, grab the property so that it should be yours? Through yeshiva, by sitting on it, and the word yeshiva doesn't mean really to sit, it means to settle. Okay, so that's one passage. This is talking about in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. Yes, it's a pasuk in the Torah, in Chumash, in Devarim, but it says that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, pasuk begins ki atem oyvim mesayarden lovi lereshes esaret asher Hashem lekechem noisin lechem verishtem oisa mishavtem ba. You're going to yarshin it, and it's going to become yours? How? Through yeshiva. But what did I do? I just sat there. True. Just sat sitting and settling. That's enough to establish a kinyan. You don't even need the kesef and the shtar. The chazaka is sufficient. When it comes, however, to metalkin, you have to make a meshicha. How do you know meshicha works by metalkin? But since it's the pasuk. That pasuk really is talking about hilchos oino'a, that you're not allowed to cheat someone. However, because the pasuk uses the expression konay miyad amisecha, I learned from that that nikna miyad liyad. And we'll, as we'll see, mechim mesechtes bob metzia. In fact, the Gemara says ein oino'a bikarkois. The din of deception only applies to the talitim, doesn't apply to karkois, because that's not something that you can transmit liyad liyad. It doesn't mean that you're allowed to deceive someone. It just means that this hilchos oino'a of a sixth, etc., does not apply. Anyway, so since it used the term yad, liyad liyad, how are you koina with your yad? By doing a meshicha. By meshicha, by definition, you're schlepping something with your yad. So that's a makar that you can go and be koina metalklin the meshicha. The biyoichim yomad var toira, mois koinus my ikonam emer. There's a famous machloikis that the Gemara brings throughout the Bavis, a machloikis between Rabbi Yoichan and Emre Shlokish. What's the din min ha-toira? Min ha-toira, how are you koine metalklin? Rabbi Yochanan says, min ha-toira, mo is koine. You don't have to make a meshicha. You don't have to make a hagbah. You don't have to make a kinyan chotzer. Just giving money, you are koine. Rish Lakish disagrees. Rish Lakish says, no, you have to have dafka meshicha. Even Rabbi Yochanan agrees, however, okay, so what's the kasha? The kasha is, it says in our Mishnah, you koine with meshicha. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you koine with kesev. My Yikalimaimu, what are you going to say according to Rabbi Yochanan? Eftimur Tana, Takantad Rabbanim Tani. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that our Tana and our Mishnah is telling us, Bizman Azeh, what's the din? Of course, Min HaToyra, says Rabbi Yochanan, you got to give money. However, Midrabanan, you can even do through Meshicha. What's the reason why the Chamamu Mesakin Meshicha, Vosish left? Just giving the money. So Rashi brings the reminds us of the Gemara in Bavatiya, but the Gemara says, because I'm afraid, Gezeira Shema Yoimar, Nishrifu Chitecha Ba'aliyah. What does that mean? You have a Moicher and a Koine. The Lokeach goes to the Moicher and says, I want to buy from you 1,000 bushels of wheat. Sure, no problem. Each bushel costs $1. You pay me $1,000, and you get all the bushels of wheat. Now, when do you want to take delivery? I really don't have that much storage space. If you don't mind, Moicher, hold on to the wheat in your storage bin, and I'll pick it up from you in another month or two when I have customers and when I have room, and then I'll pick it up. Fine, no problem. I won't even charge you a penny rent. What happens if Nebuch, 2 or 3 days later, there is a sreifa in that storage facility that belongs to the Moicher? So the Moicher says to himself, no, the storage facility, I can be Michael, it wasn't really worth that much, it's really old and dusty and rusty and this and that. So I don't really care. What about the chitim? I certainly don't care. The chitim don't belong to me, they belong to the lekeach. Ay, ay, ay. But the lekeach already paid money for it. So because we are concerned that the mocher will not take any responsibility vis-a-vis the goods that were sold, says the Rabbanan, the best thing is, lekeach, take it with you. Make a meshicha, bring it to your facilities, don't leave it by the moicher. Okay, back to the Gemara. Now we're talking about the halacha of agav, which we spoke about in the Mishnah, that when you are buying both karka and metalkalin, you don't have to make separate kinyonim on the karka, separate on the metalkalin, but you can go and combine the two. Just make a kinyan on the karka, and the metalkalin will go along for the ride. You know what I mean? How do I know that I'm a chizki and I'm a kross as an apostle? But you tell him, aviyam matonois, I'm sorry, mitsurois, mitsurois and mitsurois. I think it's mitsurois if I'm not mistaken. No, it's mitsurois, sorry. I'm sorry, mitsurois, be Yehuda. So their father, who's the father, says Rashi, we're talking about the children of Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat was one of the kings, and he gave a present through his children. He gave them matonis in the form of metaltlin, together with Ari Mitzvot Yehuda, together with cities. Obviously, a king has cities that he owns together with metaltlin. He gave both to his children. What's the reason why the Torah tells us the im Ari Mitzvot? It could have simply said v'itl maviyim matonis the Ari Mitzvot. The im comes to tell you that when the children made a kinyan on the Ari Mitzurais, they got the matonis along for the ride without making a separate kinyan. This is a question that we already mentioned earlier, and that is, do the matonis have to be lying on or in the Ari Mitzurais, or even if they're somewhere else? In other words, for instance, if he transferred to them, let's assume the city called Tel Aviv, and the matonis were in Yerushalayim. Can you just make a kinyan on the city of Tel Aviv and automatically kinyan agav your kinyan the matonis Yerushalayim? Or do the matonis have to be in Tel Aviv? Tzimburim. Ibaylu bayin tzimburim. Tzimburim means collected or assembled on the real estate. Alright. So Gemara is going to try to bring a bunch of rayas. Amar Rav Yosef, Toshima. Rav Akiva Oimer. This is a Mishnah in the Sechtes Peyer. Bush take the Mishnah. Karka Kosu. Even a small little karka of, you know, dalaramas and dalaramas. Yeah, a small little thing. Chayav is bepeyah. If fruits grow from it, or produce grows from it, then you have to go and give peyah. Even though the amount of peyah that you're going to give is going to be a very small amount, because the whole karka is a very small amount. But there is no minimum. Right? So even if the property, the karka is kosher, it's 4 amas by 4 amas, whatever, you gotta get paid. And you also have to bring bikurim to Yerushalayim. And also karka koshu for lichtav ala pruzbul. The chacham, as you know, were mesakin in the pruzbul in the Shemitah year. And the chacham said, if you want that this pruzbul should be effective, there has to be a backup on karka. Why does there have to be a backup on karka? Because Rashi said when the chacham made this takana, they made it only by a dover shchiach. And the dover shchiach is davka, if when the person lent money, he made sure to have security on the loan. What the Chazal are telling us is that the standard practice in the times of the Gemara was people gave secured loans, they didn't give unsecured loans. For the obvious reason, because it's unsecured, you may never get paid. And therefore you made sure to go and get real estate that backed up the loan. Ah, since the whole Indian of Prusbul is to be able to go and get back payment on your loan, even though it's Shemitah year, so it has to be a standard type of loan, not a crazy or unusual type of loan. And the standard type of loan is a loan that is backed by property. The amount of property doesn't even have to be the value of the loan. The loan could have been $1,000, and this property is only worth a nickel. Makes no difference. A karka koshu is enough for purposes of writing a prusbul. For purpose of kinyan agav, even though the property we're talking about again is 2x2, 4x4, gurnished, you can be koina with it, kinyan agav mitalklin. So that's the end of the Mishnah. And now the Gemara asks, v'yam resbinin tziburin koshu l'may chazi. If you're talking about that anytime you want to do a kinyan agav, the mitalklin have to be placed on the karka itself. If the whole karka is 2x2, 4x4, mamashagunish, and you want to be able to go and transfer with it a huge couch or a huge table, it's not going to even fit on that piece of property. The property is so small. So obviously you don't need tziburim, because you're saying that you can use karka even of a koshul. Is the chayra shtarkerai, the amas bin in tziburim, koshul amai chosi. How can you possibly put metalklin on a karka koshul? There's no room to put any metalklin. Is the chayra a strong raya that you do not need tziburim? Zoki mar terguma Rav Shmuel bar Bisna kamid Rav Yosef. Rav Shmuel bar Bisna said to Rav Yosef, nishkaraya. Kugoin, it could be, you're talking about Shinoatzba Machat, that together with the piece of property, he's also transferring one needle. And therefore, what the Mishnah is telling us is that when you are selling or transferring a piece of property together with a needle, you don't have to make a separate kinyan on the needle. Because the needle, if it's Noatzba if it's sticking in the ground, at the same time that you make your kinyan on the karka, you also get the machat along for the ride. So bottom line is, the Mishnah in fact is telling us perhaps that you do need tziburin, and we're just talking about, just like the property is so small, the metalton is also so small that you're transferring a needle. Rav Yosef was not happy with this pshat. Rav Yosef says back to Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna, Omle Rav Yosef, kabastan. Now kabastan is a machlokes, exactly what it means, but regardless of how you define it, it means, Mr., I can't believe that you are giving this very strained teretz. How does Rashi defend kabastan? Rashi says, tziartani. You're making me feel upset. You're paining me by giving me such a teretz. Why? Says Gemara, Ichbul tana lashmina machat. Rabbeinu HaKodesh wrote a Mishnah in Mesechtes Peah, and he threw in that even on a karka koshu, you can be koine metalklin. You know which type of metalklin? If I'm selling you a needle. Come on! Is that what Rabbeinu HaKodesh is trying to tell us? Did you sell a needle and you don't have to make a separate kinyan? That's the word kabastan, you're upsetting me. However, for those of you that have a Mesechtes Hashas, in my Gemara it's Ois Aleph, others may have it on the side of the Gemara, it brings Rabbeinu Hananel Pirish, kabaston, gnavta daitenu. You're trying to kind of deceive us. Kinamrina nimtzaganav ekubustis. If you found that the eved that you bought was either a ganav or kubustis, Rashi said back towards the beginning of the Masechta, means a kidnapper. So you're trying to kidnap our minds by giving such a flimsy teretz. Come on, how is the Pasul Rabbeinu HaKodesh wrote a Mishnah to go and tell us, yeah, if you want to go and buy a needle, you don't have to go and make a kinyan in the needle, you can go and get it, it goes along for the ride together with this karka kosher. But then he brings another pshat, he says, V'orach erach kabas herich oid, v'soiv dvorov, ki odem shemare es chaveroi dover metunach. He goes and shows him something which is shmutzik, dirty. In other words, this is not a clean pshat that you're giving me. This pshat is, if you will, a little bit far-fetched, and that's why Rav Yosef was upset. But now he brings from the Rif, Zelashen Harav Alfis, Baba Basra Perakei Dalet Daf Kivtzai Ches, he says, Tfus Zulzbach, that's in the Zulzbach printing, Kabastan Kloimar, Hafachta Ez B'nei Meyai Lahoki. You've caused me intestinal disorders that I might come to regurgitate, blaz, to vomit. In other words, the pshat that you've given me is just incredible. It's unbelievable. Come on. Rabbeinu HaKodesh didn't go and write a whole Mishnah with a small piece of property to tell me to go and sell a needle. So Amar Rav Ashi said, Rav Yosef, don't get so upset at Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna. His pshat does make sense. Man limulon the litolaba marginisa the shavya alpha zuzi. Who says that the pin or needle that we're talking about is a basically worthless pin or needle, like the pin or needle that you would use for sewing? How much can it be worth? 50 cents, a dollar, or whatever? Perhaps you can get these packages of 20 for 50 cents. In other words, who says we're talking about that type of pin? Maybe we're talking about a pin that a woman wears as a brooch. And on the pin, there's a large, beautiful diamond, which is worth a few thousand dollars or more. How does a person sell such a diamond-studded pin instead of making a separate kinyan? You can go and do it as a kinyan agav together with a piece of property, even a karka kosher. And therefore, it's not what you said before of Yosef, you're being mitzayir me. We're talking about a real, a major transaction of thousands of dollars that you can be koine derech agav with the karka. And Shelley wants to make a fine point now.
It was good that you broached the subject.
Oh, thank you. And that was a very fine point that you just made about the needle and the pin. It's a pointed comment. Anyway, bottom line is, I do not have a raya. Could very well. I'm sorry, once again? You wanted to pinpoint it. Beautiful. So the Gemara is telling us, bottom line, you have no raya from that Mishnah, because maybe we are talking about tziburin after all. It's Tarshim Malik trying to bring another raya. Omer Rebbe Luza, Masad Bibadoini Echad. Rashi says Modoin is the name of a place, and therefore this Modoini was a person that comes from Modoin. Shoyu B'Yushalayim, that was in Yushalayim. Shoyu B'Metalklin Harbi, he had a lot of movables, a lot of Metalklin. Ubikish Litnam B'Matoni, he wants to give it away Matana. But he is now in Yushalayim, and his Metalklin is all over. Omer Loi, so they said to him, Engle Takona Chiiknem Al Gabi Karka. Instead of having the recipients have to go and make lots of meshichos and kinyonim, what you can go and do is take all the metalklin and sell them agav karka. So ma osa. So what did he do? Holach he went v'lokach beis sela and he purchased the beis sela samach liyushalayim. That is a machloikis, not a machloikis. It's two pshatim in Rashi. What's a beis sela? Beis sela could mean a piece of property that had the size of the matbea that we call a sela. In other words, as you know, we have from time to time in the Gemara a sela, mita dinner, mita mo'o, mita punjoin, mita iser, mita pruta. So how big is a sela? Why is it as big as a silver dollar, perhaps? Maybe even a little bit larger. But the whole property was that size of a sela. Or another pshat, says Rashi, that this was a large boulder, like we have in Riverside Park, that you can go and get a very large boulder, and that's the entire property. So that's what he bought. And the reason why he bought such a property is because it cost him very insignificant amount. It was the size of a coin of a seller. Or if it was just a boulder, Rashi says a boulder is not flat, it comes to a point at the top. That's a very pointed comment. So once again, it has flimsy, minimal value, because you can't use it for planting, you can't use it for sitting on. It's almost worthless. So he bought such a property. So now I have a piece of real estate. The Oman, he says, okay, and I want to transfer now to this individual, these metalklin. So what do you do? The Oman, he said, Svoini zeh leploini. The northern part of this piece of property, this space sella, I give to ploini, to Yanko. The imoin together with it, mayat sign 100 heads of sheep, umeya chavias and 100 barrels of wine. Umeis, and eventually Nebuchadnezzar Madoni passed away. The kaim was the word, then when the kaim is words, either because he was a shchimra, or because mitzvah the kaim is divrei ames, but they were makayim, and they gave taka to yena ploini, they gave the mayat sign and the mayat chavias. So gemar v'yam has been in tziburin, but they sell the may chazi. If you're telling me that the Nechos and Metalklin have to be tziburin, if the entire size of the property was a beisela, like a matbea, or if it was a pointy boulder, like we said before, where are you going to stack the mea tzoin and the mea chavius on this tiny little property or on this pointy boulder? I mean, it doesn't make sense. Is the chayra raya that you don't need tziburin? Everything more misav is beisela sela mamish. My seller the nofish tuva, but my courtly seller the koshik seller. I have now a third shot in the base seller. Not that it was the size of a seller coin, not that it was a relatively small piece of property with this big, huge boulder that was pointy on top, but rather this, in fact, was a large piece of property, maybe ichvais sasayim kechotzer mishkan. 5,000 square amas, a nice, large piece of property. The reason why it's called the Beisela is because the property was as hard as a rock. I sent in the plows, I sent in the oxen, I sent in the tractors, and they all failed to be able to properly plow the property, because it was a Beisela. It was hard as a rock, literally. And that's why the person was able to buy it at a very cheap price, and he was able to use it to go and be Makna Kinyan Agav. So you have no raya that it was not Tzibur. It could very well be it was a large piece of property and you could fit on 100 tzoin and 100 chavias and even more. And the reason why it's called the Beisela is because it was a hard piece of property. David, you want to say something? I'm sorry?
Like the area around the burning man.
The area The area around Burning Man?
It's in the news, Burning Man, so I mentioned.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much. So continuing back to our Gemara, Zog the Gemara, Toshima. So I still have no raya, another raya. The Amar Yudah Marav. Ma'is be'ad ha'mechad she'chol b'Yishalayim. Kira b'lazar. Ve'ami lo bori ha'ya kira banan. In other words, the Gemara bring this, I know it says Reb Lezer, on the side it says Reb Lezer, that this Reb Lezer and the Rabbanan are, we're really getting off a little bit on a tangent. We're talking about whether it was a Shchivmara situation or was a Matanis Bori situation. So according to the first version, he was sick and he's trying to transfer property with as a Shchivmara. The Amrilah, others say, no, he was Bori, Baruch Hashem, he was Gizun, to the going to Rabbanan, we're not talking about a Shchivmara. Anyway, but what was this story with this Adam Echad? He wants to give him matana, and he doesn't want that the recipient should have to go make 100 different kinyanim. For instance, if he is transferring 100 chavias, he doesn't want him to have to do a mashiach on every single chavias. So what do you do? They told him, the best thing is, go and be makne to that, whoever the recipient is, derech, with a kinyan agav. So all that recipient will have to do is make a shtikul kinyan in the karka, and automatically he's going to be coined together with it all of the metal. So also, what did he do? He bought a base roiva. Rashi says base roiva means a roiva hakav, which is very, very small. If you look at Rashi, parallel to Agamar, base roiva, base zurias, roiva hakav. If he cheshvin sasayim, the chotzer hamishkan. We know that the mishkan was, the shear of the mishkan was 50 by 100. 50 by 100 means 5,000 square amas. And that, the Gemara refers to as tasayim, which means two base saw, that you can go and plant two saw in 5,000 square amas. Aha. Okay. Now how many kavim are there in a saw? A saw has six kavim. A roiva hakav is a quarter of a kav, which is 1/24 of a sa'ah. And it's 1/48 of two sa'ah. So if two sa'ah is 5,000 squared amas, a roiva is 1/48 of the 5,000 amas. Just making arithmetic simple, instead of 1/48, let's round it up to 1/50. 1/50 of 5,000 amas would be 100 square amas. So 100 square amas means a piece of property which is 10 amas by 10 amas, 100 square amas, and that's, how much would that be in feet? Assuming, according to Chazon Ish, that an amma is 2 feet, so it would be 20 feet by 20 feet. On the west side of Manhattan, those that have the pre-war apartments, usually often the length of a living room could be 20 feet. And then if the width were altered to be 20 feet, that would be the size of this roiva hakav. So, I mean, it's not inconsiderable, especially if you're talking about living space, that's a nice living space, but in terms of a field, if your entire field was the size of your living room, as you could tell, that wouldn't be much of a field. So that's what he bought. He bought this base roiva, 10 amas by 10 amas, 100 square amas property. The Oman, he said, Tefach al Tefach le Ploini, my good friend Ploini Yankel, I'm giving him the size of a Tefach al Tefach, one Tefach squared. The Imain, together with it, Meyat Zayim and Meyat Chavius. Umay Samidai, the Kaimu Chacham Mestavarov. And the Chacham Mekaim Mestavarov, either because it's Matan Shchimra, Matan Bari, Mitzvah Kaim to VMS, whatever, they were Mekaim. Now, obviously, if we're talking about that the entire piece of property that he's being makna is a tefach al tefach, there's no way that you can stack 100 tzayin and 100 chavias on a tefach al tefach. I mean, that's ridiculous. The am is being in tzibur, tefach al tefach on my chazi. It's impossible. Is the chayra a concrete raya that you don't need tziburin for kinyan agav? Everyone know raya. Ach, my skin and dummy. When we said that he's giving him the 100 tzayin and the 100 chavias, we don't mean literally the 100 tzayin, we mean the value of 100 tzayin. So, assuming that 100 tzayin, each one of the heads of the tzayin goes for $5, so if I have 100 times 5, it's $500, and assuming that the 100 chavias was also $5 per chavias, is another $500, so I want to give a present of $1,000, so I take a large bag of coins worth $1,000, and I put it on that tefach al tefach. Oh, so you could have tziburin after all. We're not talking about the tzayin chavis, we're talking about the money, the value. So you have no right. So you're going to tell me, come on, that's such a far-fetched pshat. How can I misdaber? No, that's svaradik. Why do you have to go and strain yourself and buy a piece of base roiva? Why don't you just go pick up a handkerchief or pick up a pen or whatever and be makne b'chalipin and done? So you don't need this ganze geschäft. Elamai is the chasimin that we're talking about money. So he's saying, no, if you're talking about money, so let's do alter chalipin on the money. Says Rashi, we have a gemara in the sechset bav metziah. Ein mateya nikne b'chalipin. You cannot transfer money through chalipin. Ah, so therefore, is the charai we're talking talk about money, and we're not talking about the tzoyin and the chavius, and that's how he transferred the money to that recipient. The recipient wasn't around. And he put it on agav karka. It could be mamish tziburin on the karka of tefach al tefach. So for eight more of elamai l'domi, so you're telling me it's talking about money? Is it minu nilei v'mashicha? Why don't we go and say to the nosein hamatana, call over the recipient and let him be koyev a mashicha? What do you have to have metakanta kinyan agav? So the obvious answer is that the less of the makabel matana, because the makabel matana is not present, and this shchimra or this bari who's giving the present says, well, the makabel is not here, what do I do? Oh, be makna to him with a kinyan agav. So Timora, if it's talking about that he's not here, how can I do less of the makabel matana? Then the same thing applies to the tzoyin and the chavius. In other words, you cannot, you said, how can I mistab? We must be talking about money. Because if it's talking about the tzoyin and the chavius in Ma'amish, let him go and do a kinyan chalipin. You know why he didn't do a kinyan chalipin? Because he's not here to do the kinyan chalipin. When you want to do a kinyan chalipin, you use the kelev shalokeach. You ask him, please give me your pen, pick up the gartel, pick up the handkerchief, you use the kelev shalokeach. The kech is not here. The mekabel matan is nishdot to do the kinyan chalipin. So therefore, he's not here for purposes of the money either. And that's the reason why I'm doing it through the karka. So it's not a... The Gemara said, "Hachana mistavra." It must be talking about money, because if it's talking about tzoyin and about chavius, let him do chalipin. No, the reason why, it could be that it is tzoyin, and it could be that it is chavius, and we have a raya from this that we do not need tziburin, and the reason why the recipient didn't do chalipin, because the recipient's not here to do chalipin. Freit Gemara, v'niskinu nilei agav acher, why don't you just go and take a third party, and say, as you know, Zochen le'odim shaloi b'fanav, everybody would love to have 100 tzoyin and 100 chavius, so you ask Yankel Smith, do me a favor, I want you to be zoich on behalf of Beryl Jones, I want to give him this matana of the beautiful tzoyin and chavius, and please go and take it for him, niskinan el agav achet. The one that's giving the matana is not soymech das, so v'shamet v'yochelhu. He's afraid, especially if you're talking about a shchimra, and even if you're talking about a bari, the person says to himself, if I'm going to go and give either the money or the chavius and the tzoyin to a third party, to Yankel Smith, and say, please, do me a favor, be zocher on behalf of Beryl Jones, who knows how reliable Yankel Smith is? So b'shem advachal, he might go and abscond with the tzoyin and the chavius and never give it to the recipient. You're going to tell me, come on, is that likely? You know, a person who's giving a present, you never know, especially a substantial present. I go and give a shomer, here, I give you $1 million, please watch it carefully and give me back in a week from now. What happens if during that week the shomer takes $1 million and he flees to Australia? You know, you never know, unfortunately. And therefore, he didn't want to give it to a third party. Frank Yamara, why does it say in this price, and the Gemara said, there is a takana. The takana is to go and find a trustworthy third party individual and have him go be zoicha on behalf of the recipient. Because the benefactor who's giving this present doesn't want to rely on any third parties because he's not Seymech Das. He's afraid that that third party might take the money or might take the goods and run. Under those circumstances, the only option you have is to go and do a kinyan agav. The bottom line is, Rabbi Isai, we have no raya whether or not it's talking about tziburin or a fellow ainin tziburin. At the moment, this Gemara is an iboyet leifshita. However, mitzvah tomorrow, the Gemara is going to try to bring rayas from the Masmer and Gamliel, and other rayas, as we'll see mentioned tomorrow. Have a good Shabbos, one and all.